if an individual is preparing, revising for examinations, he's a student, and it's a very severe, hard testing examination. Obviously, for revising, you have to study the year before, you got to get all the books, the kitabs, the study material. So the student, the poor soul, he's a little bit distressed here and there. He gets a bit confused when the examination gets a bit closer. What shall I study? How much shall I study? How to revise? Then suddenly, he gets a resource, such a resource, that through that resource, he gets the paper. The papers come out, and he realizes that these are the five questions that will be in the exam. He will enjoy himself. He will sleep with ease. And those five questions, he will prepare for them. And the rest of the kitabs, he'll say, I'll put them to the side. What's the point of studying them? So, those five questions, when he realizes that these are the questions that will come in the exam, because the exam paper's been leaked, then he'll prepare and revise for those questions, and he'll sit in the exam and quickly put the answers down, and he'll pass, he'll get first class results, and maybe on the board his name will be inscribed. So in the same way, mashaAllah, our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sahabi, his companions radiallahu anhum, they were great individuals and personalities that Allah Ta'ala made them ashabi rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Allah Ta'ala said, I am pleased with them in the world whilst they were alive. Allah said, I'm pleased with them. They were given the glad tidings about paradise. Very beautiful learnings from them. Their great actions. The Quran praised them. Such beautiful habits they had, the Sahaba Ikram. And they did one action. They did many actions, but some great things for the Ummah. Every companion, every Sahabi is a star. A shining star in the sky, in the heavens. So brothers, the beautiful action that they carried out for the Ummah, for this Ummah, is that they leaked the paper from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They made apparent the questions, isn't it? Say subhanallah, subhanallah. And obviously we have to prepare what amal, deeds, words, actions. It's difficult, isn't it, for us? It's difficult. But today, if the paper was to be leaked, then how simple it become for us. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. So, if the paper comes out, exam paper, and we'll know that these are the questions that we're going to be asked, and we'll, if we learn these and practice, then we'll pass. So one companion came to the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam's blessed gathering, and he communicated the paper, the questions. Look, how did he do this? He said, oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may my parents be assigned to you. These are his words. This is how much recognition they had for the deen. They knew about death. There was no fake practice with the Sahaba. So these words would come from their blessed statements. After seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they'd say that may my mother and father be assigned to you. And mashallah, they did this as well. It wasn't just that they said empty blank words. They were true, honest lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he put forward a request. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said yes. He said, oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the human being, what deed will there be for the human being? What action will there be for the human being that immediately that action will take the person into paradise? Subhanallah, subhanallah. Simple, ajeeb, unique question. Which action is there that an individual can do, the human being, if he does it, straight away, immediately he'll enter him into paradise? In other words, we could say, if we use other words, simply, simplify it, that what action is it that the conclusion of the action is that very quickly a person ends up in paradise. Very quickly ends up in paradise. What a short, concise question. Alhamdulillah. So, on the other side, when the Holy Prophet ﷺ heard this, this was his praise, his qualities, Jami al-Kalam. And subhanallah, that he could seal the ocean within a small container. The whole deen, he would wrap up nicely within a few words. what a question, what a great answer. And all of us are successful based on the answer. The Holy Prophet, the gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stated that, yes, there is an amal, there is an action. And the Sahabi said, please, O Prophet of Allah, tell us what is this. Rasulullah said that this amal is such an action that with this, the insan, the human being, very quickly he enters into paradise. Very quickly. O Prophet of Allah, what action is that? The Prophet said, ittaqullah and husnul khulq, say subhanallah. Subhanallah, these two actions, what are they? To fear Allah and to have good mannerism, good conduct. Allahu Akbar. To improve one's conduct. What a great, this is the greatest ibadah, alhamdulillah. What is this? Ittaqullah. Fear Allah. Fear Allah. Whoever fears Allah, whichever individual fears Allah, and if his akhlaq, his conduct, manners are good, the person who fears Allah, and his akhlaq, his manners, social conduct is good, it's stated that he has entered and wandered into paradise. Subhanallah. So my brothers, the paper is out, alhamdulillah. This is a very, very past paper, you can say. A historic paper. Have we ever thought about it? MashaAllah. We do many other actions. We do so many things. There's no doubt. We do lots of things. But this is such a great solution. The Prophet ﷺ has told us that this, you can say, summarizes all of the other things we do. You can do all other actions. If you don't have these two actions, then you'll fail in the examination. Remember, it's essential to have these two elements in your life to enter paradise and to please Allah. First thing, taqwa. Fear in Allah. Fear Allah. What does this mean? Today, if we look at the tafsir, and I'd like to present that tafsir to you so that we can understand that what is taqwa, fearing Allah. What should we do? How do we attain taqwa? How do we implement this action of taqwa? The tafsir commentary of taqwa is that taqwa is that condition where a human being, an individual, in every condition, every scenario, for example, a person who's a Muslim, in every scenario, in every feeling, condition, emotion, every moment, his mindset is focused on what? That may not any of my actions be done against the pleasure of Allah, against the choice of Allah. That may not be that any action of mine is being carried out against the choice of Allah, the liking of Allah, the pleasure of Allah. If it is, then I need to quickly take a U-turn. Change this. And the other name for this condition, feeling, emotion is taqwa. Okay? That every second a human being, his thinking, his feeling, his heart, his condition, his emotion, that this action I'm doing now, is this against the will of Allah? Is this action, that this amal I'm doing, is this against the pleasure of Allah? If he feels this and can see this, what he should do is distance himself from the action that I need to save myself from this. This is against Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. The pious predecessors have stated this is defined as taqwa. Taqwa. One thing we've understood. Second point, husn khulq. In other words, to improve one's akhlaq, conduct, mannerism, manners. How? That we are in the dunya with people, we mingle, and our approach with people, our conduct with people should be the best. It should be good, it should be nice. And this is called husnul khulq, in home, outside, here, there, wherever one is. Your akhlaq should be good. Present yourself nicely amongst people. Have good relations, social intercourse on a good level. These are the two elements that we must bring to life. If our akhlaq isn't just zahiri, that you show. No, look at both. Look at both. Both of these elements, taqwa is a condition, it's a feeling, it's an emotion. We need to be focused on this all the time, that am I doing anything against Allah's choice, will, pleasure? Should become a habit, should become natural, second nature. If you're habitual in smoking a cigarette, then even if you don't have a cigarette, your hands, they're sort of gesturing. You're not smoking, but your hands, they're sort of in that position because it's natural for him. And he hasn't got the cigarette in between his fingers, but his fingers are like that. When he's sleeping, maybe his fingers will be like that. May Allah Ta'ala not allow or permit us to do this. That person dies and his fingers are like that. Because it's habitual. When you become habitual, it becomes very solid practice in a person's life. So this is the fitrat. It should be natural trait of a person. Always he should be thinking that this action I'm doing, is this earning Allah's displeasure? Wrath? Anger? Dislike? And this is called taqwa. This action or feeling or emotion. The second feeling, condition, action is that anything you're doing in the world, when you're interacting with people, it should be beautiful interaction. This is called akhlaq. Nice feelings between people, giving, taking, transactions, discussions, good manners, good conduct. Whoever, home, outside, family, children, excellent akhlaq it should be. So these elements, both of these elements are linked with what? The Holy Prophet ﷺ was asked that what is taqwa? Rasulullah ﷺ said that taqwa, to have taqwa, it should be in the heart, taqwa. In the heart. Not on the tip of your tongue. Not on your expression or speech. And it won't be in your hand or external in your feet. Where is taqwa? In other words, to feel, to focus on Allah, the fear of Allah, where should it be? In your heart. It won't be on your tongue. If you think on your tongue, you're saying, I fear Allah, don't ask. You'll see many people like that. But the person who has khawf of Allah in his heart, will be different. Yes, those who have fear of Allah on their tongues, they'll be different. Opposites. They'll be fake, not genuine. It won't be asal, real. But the person who has taqwa in his heart, his feeling, his face, expression, you'll realize that this person has got khawf. And he will just ask people for forgiveness openly. Oh, have I made a mistake with this person? Or have this happened? Or will this cause Allah's displeasure if I say bad about this person? May Allah will be, maybe Allah will be unhappy. And then he'll, out of fear, ask for forgiveness. He'll bow in front of them. For who? For not for the person. For Allah Ta'ala's sake. And in the same way, husn khulq, husn akhlaq, it won't be external, showing. You know what we think, akhlaq? Oh, smile at a person when you meet, oh, assalamu alaikum, how are you? Is everything fine? You're grinning at that person. This is not akhlaq. This is not the definition of akhlaq. Akhlaq is not on the lips, in your smile. If you have a smile on your face, you've got akhlaq. No, akhlaq is also embedded in the heart. Yes, the smile from the lips and the smile of the hearts is the difference, like the difference between the heavens and the earth. Remember this. Husn akhlaq, you'll see extreme love. A person will demonstrate love, even if his face looks stern, strict. Yes, when you look at him, he thinks he's a strict person, he's firm. But his akhlaq conduct is good, then he will pull you towards him, that person. And you'll see love in that person. And his words you will not take badly. Even if he slaps you, you say, no, he hit me correctly. He slapped me correctly. For a good reason. But the person who's fake, in his words, you may see grinning and smiling. And he may not be your friend, but he's shaking your hand. Yes, we think that a person who goes through formalities is good manners. I remember this person was a poet. That we think that formalities are good akhlaq, good manners. It's not the friend, but he's the one who's putting his hand forward to shake with you. Whoever we shake a hand with doesn't mean he's your friend. Akhlaq is from where? What does it emanate from? The heart of the person. So what does this mean? Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. This hadith, beautiful learning in this hadith, is that both actions, taqwa and good akhlaq, are both ibadat, worship, that open up the doors for paradise for a person. And asal, the genuine action, leads to the good conclusion for that person. And his link, his connection, is with two things. Is with what? Both of these conditions are linked with the heart. And listen to this. That these both actions, both of these actions, to try to make effort to attain these, both taqwa and husn akhlaq, this is tazkiyah. The action of tazkiyah, tasawwuf, the Islamic science and subject of tasawwuf. If you say to someone, I'm doing tazkiyah, the meaning of tazkiyah is what? What's he doing? He's trying to attain both of these conditions, fear of Allah and good conduct, good manners. Not externally, in the depths of the heart he's trying to attain this. Subhanallah. So both of these things are termed in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Allah says, تَزْكِيَةً قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. That Allah says that this is tazkiyah, purification, cleaning, washing. that you try hard, work hard to try to get these two feelings, emotions. This is tazkiyah, this is tasawwuf. In reality, this hadith is pointing us towards kamil iman, complete iman. Kamil iman, complete iman is this, that in your heart you should have the fear of Allah, in your heart you should have akhlaqi husna. When you have such a heart, when a person has a heart like this, this is termed what? That this person has done tazkiyah, he's purified himself and he's made himself clean. Tasawwuf. This is the Islamic subject. And the people who try to do this, attain this, and if a person says, I want to do my tazkiyah, I want to attain good condition of taqwa, and I want to have good akhlaq, the person who wants to be close to Allah, then it's lazim that he embeds akhlaq and taqwa in his heart. Otherwise he cannot attain Jannah. It's lazim, compulsory on us, to bring these conditions into our lives. Understand the importance of these conditions. Allah Ta'ala has explained to us clclearly, the kamil mu'min, the complete mu'min, complete believer, total belief, that the path to paradise will happen when he has khawf, fear of Allah, taqwa. All life, he spent his life like this. Have I done something wrong? Have I made a mistake? Have I erred? Have I taken the wrong step? All life long he does this, that even with a person who is his so-called enemy, he's tried to make amends with that person, and he's elevated and uplifted his akhlaq. He doesn't let anger come in the way, he doesn't talk nonsense talk. Everything he thinks and considers, that I need to be good, I need to be good with the other people. And he improves his relations and conduct. So when we have these questions that have been leaked to us, then shouldn't we revise on these questions and prepare for the exam? If we don't, we'll be failures. So listen to the message of today. Allah Ta'ala has explained this to me. Allah Ta'ala put this into my heart. I've explained to you. I'll try. You should try. If we do not try and make effort on this path, then we are wasting our time. We are wasting. We have to implement this learning of today. If we have taqwa, that's very good already. But you cannot attain success without effort. Sitting down, you can't get nothing. I'm praying salah. Will salah give taqwa? Say subhanallah. Yes, I'm doing hajj. Will hajj result in taqwa? Salah demands taqwa first. Say subhanallah. Before you pray salah, you have to have taqwa in advance. For hajj, you need taqwa in advance. The hajj you are going to perform when you come back. What do you need in advance? Taqwa. If you don't have taqwa and go to hajj, then what are you doing? At the time of hajj, you'll be swearing at people, shunning people, bad akhlaq with people, and betraying people, bad actions, you'll lie, you'll backbite. During Hajj, you'll be doing this. During Hajj. So what's the point? The difference is the person who has taqwa and goes on Hajj, what will he have? Subhanallah, his Hajj will be ajeeb, unique, very spiritual. On every footstep and breath, fear of Allah in his heart, his Hajj will be accepted. The person doing Hajj, going around the Kaaba, Tawaf, and he doesn't have taqwa in his heart, no fear of Allah, then taqwa will not come from Hajj. Taqwa won't come from Salah. It has to be in advance before these actions. When you do Hajj, do it with taqwa. Taqwa has to be embedded in the heart before you go on Hajj. So when we are doing ibadat, Hajj, Salah, praying, Hajj, fasting, whatever actions we do, Allah has given us the tawfiq to do. If we don't have taqwa in the heart before that, then we are wasting our time. We are wasting our effort. That action is going down the drain to waste. Then when we in the akhirah present our deeds, it will be like the shell. But what's inside? Nothing. Empty, dry. So Allah Ta'ala will ask that, why didn't you attain taqwa while you were in the world? Why didn't you develop your fear of me? How Allah? Allah will say, I told you, prescribed to you, that you need to bring both things into your life, taqwa and good akhlaq. If you had high akhlaq and you had fear of Allah. And where did you get this from? Both of these things, if you want to attain them, that's called tazkiyah, purification, tasawwuf, purification of the soul. And this is kamil iman, complete iman. And those people who embark on this journey to attain this conclusion of taqwa and akhlaqi husna, they follow the procedure. Will we follow the procedure? Inshallah. Obviously we'll have to. If we start this procedure, process, they are called what? What do we define them? They are the Sufis who follow the journey, the process to become people of taqwa and good akhlaq. The Sufi, the terms, the principles are for those people, those in collection of people who in reality they want to bring fear of Allah into their heart. They want to bring akhlaq into their heart. and to embark on this journey, to work hard on this, to study this, to bring this into life, that person's termed a Sufi. But we've spoiled this name. Tasawwuf, Sufi, we've trampled on. We think dancing, swirling people, and they're doing wrong things, and magic, and mysterious things. Oh, he's a Sufi, he's high maqam, he's reached the skies. This is this day and age. Wherever you see games and trickery, he's sitting there, he's got a big blanket wrapped around him, no care of Sharia, may Allah forgive, no care about deen or principles or rules. Oh, he's very spiritual. Oh, he's close to Allah. Yeah, he listens to music and instruments and dancing, and everything's permissible in that person's country. They say he's a Sufi. He's following tasawwuf. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Tasawwuf is this, what I'm telling you. Sufi is that person who has fear of Allah, and he wants to attain Allah's fear, who wants to improve his conduct and social manners. That's a Sufi. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. This is the definition of tasawwuf. Remember from today, what is tasawwuf? Here's the difference. Oh, he's a Sufi, he does this and that. What do we look for? Oh, look at his miracles, and does he tell us about things we don't know? There's no link between karamat and tasawwuf. Karamat has nothing to do with this. Shaitan will show you miracles. Magicians will show you miracles. Magicians, those people who don't believe in Allah, will show you miracles. Magic, thousands of examples I can talk to you about. People, they'll show you they're flying in the air. They'll show you tricks. No, don't look at these things. Rather, Sufi will be that person who has fear of Allah in his heart, who has excellent mannerism, good conduct, good relations with people. So brothers, we have ridiculed this path, unfortunately, today. So now what do we do? That both things, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you want to bring these conditions into your life, taqwa, if you want to attain taqwa, and if you want to attain fear of Allah, you want to elevate your manners, then the center focal point of both, where are these both obtained from? From the heart, the depth of the heart. That's where both of them live. So if our heart is improved and made, and taqwa will come into the heart, and good akhlaq will come into the heart. They will absorb into the heart automatically. Yes, taqwa will come into the heart, and good akhlaq will come into the heart. Absorb into the heart and get soaked into it. That's why the Sufis, the greatest ibadah, worship is what? The biggest, greatest ibadah for them is to look after their heart, to make their heart, to improve their heart, to purify their heart. Always they're worried about making the heart better. Control my heart. I want to purify my heart. Because whoever's heart is made and improved and purified, then the taqwa, the fear of Allah comes into the heart. His akhlaq starts to improve. So we have to correct our hearts. We have to work on our hearts. So this path that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed in the Quran, automatically Allah Ta'ala has told us Himself, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أَمْنُوا تَقُوا لَقُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Subhanallah, the Quran is telling us this. That this ilm, knowledge, if you want to attain the knowledge of taqwa and improving akhlaq, conduct and manners, you won't get it in dars, you won't get it through ibadat, worship, prayers, you won't get it from any ibadah. No external worship will give you this. No dars, speech will give this. No book will give you this. Information you'll get, the data you'll get, but you won't be able to do it physically. You'll get the information in the kitabs from other sources, but you won't be able to become this. To become this, what's the place? Qunu ma'a sadiqeen. If you want to improve yourself, sit in the company of the friend of Allah. You have to do this, subhanAllah. And the Darul Uloom of the Tasawwuf is the company of the Wali Allah. The kitab is the company of the Wali Allah. The syllabus is the company of the Wali Allah. Qunu ma'a sadiqeen. You understand what I'm saying? Is it simple? Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. So that's why the serious students who think, I want to be a good Muslim because I'm not a good Muslim at the moment. I think about other things when I'm praying Salah. I lie. I pray Salah and I lie. I pray Salah, I don't follow Sunnah. I pray Salah, I implement haram. I pray Salah and I listen to music and instruments. I pray Salah and swear at people. I pray Salah, I don't give the rice to my wife. I don't give the rice to my children. I consume people's wealth in my shop, in my business. Thousands of differences about people. I want them to call me Haji Saab, Hazrat Saab. Give me titles. Okay? Because a person, he should have thoughts in his heart, isn't it? Self-conscious, but his conscience calls out, cries out, screams out. What is that? That's Allah's rahmah. That's Allah's mercy. That from within is screaming out, oh, you foolish person, death isn't close to you yet. You haven't died yet. Correct yourself. Straighten yourself. The people you're rude with, bad akhlaq with, ask them for forgiveness. Do tawbah with that person. Do tawbah with that person. Ask for forgiveness. Yes, that inside you, your conscience, that's Allah's mercy, but shaitani buries it. Oh, no, don't go to that person. It doesn't make any difference. You pray salah, you pray tahajjud, you do 1000 tasbihs, and dhikr, remember this. Dhikr doesn't make a person a Sufi. Let me tell you this, just on its own. No. This is a wrong illusion. I do 10,000 dhikr, 100,000, 300,000, ism izat, Allah's name, la ilaha illallah, jahir dhikr, loud dhikr, khafi dhikr, and I do this and do that. No, dhikr is not the solution. Dhikr is the medicine. It's the cure. My Hazrat said a beautiful statement. Allah's walis can only say these things. He gave nasiha. Hazrat gave me nasiha. Mia, Faruqi sahab, my sheikh said to me, if, he knew that was in the heart, that if you think you'd be a wali Allah, this and that. He had kashf, he knew the feelings of that. So he pulled me together. I was a student, new student at that time, and had thoughts, a person Sufi, this is a Sufi, that's a Sufi. Imam Ghazali's kitabs I've read, and Sahih Muslim Sharif, and great kitabs I'd done mutala and studied. And I'd studied about other people who are Sufis. I thought, this is tasawwuf. Asal tasawwuf was this that I'm telling you. So Hazrat Sahib said to me that, listen, that now you've picked up the tasbih, then obviously that you think you that obviously you sat in I'm sat in front of a great sheikh and he's focusing on me, that all my lataif started to tick along, all my lessons, the spiritual lessons started to motor along, and I was listening to him, and Hazrat explained to me so that I don't fall into the illusion that I am a sheikh myself. He said, listen, Mia, if your desire and love for good deeds is increasing and your dislike for sins is increasing and you have love for the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah's a'mal that he's instructed us, if you have strength and conviction and desire to do them and courage to do them and you have passion and want to do them and sins and dunya you are starting to dislike and increase your dislike, then your dhikr is accepted, qabool. And on the other side, Hazrat Sahib, otherwise waste. Waste. I wrote this. Otherwise your dhikr is a waste. You can do 100,000. Your lataif can be muttering long, but it's a waste. The objective of dhikr is this. That taqwa should come in your heart and your akhlaq should improve and get better. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Subhanallah. This is tasawwuf. This is the meaning of tasawwuf. That where do we get this from? From the company of the Shaykh. Qunuma Sadiqeen. Allah has decided that if you, not if, rather it's lazim on you, a must on every moment. You won't have Kamil Iman. You will pass away without the Sunnah. You will pass away without the Kalima, without Amal, without action. You'll have Salah. But that will be the shell, the peel. There'll be many Amal, but you will be the poorest of people in the Akhirah and thereafter. The Prophet was asked, who will be the poorest person? Who is the poorest person? Famous hadith. Who is the poorest person? Who is the most poorest of all? Most poorest of all is that person all life long. He collected his deeds. Hajj and Umrah and Talawat and recitation and Nafil Ibadah, voluntary Ibadah, they will have done everything. That he will be the poorest person. He will go with the luggage, he'll present himself in the court of Allah. And the people called out, Hazrat Sahib, Sheikh and this and Alim, Scholar and Taqwa Sahib and all that long, long titles people want to attach to the names. But when he will be presented in Allah's court, then he will go with a big head, I've got deeds. And you'll see that there's crowds behind him. Women and men, they'll say, who are these people that they're here coming to meet you? Allah will say, huh? You say, huh? Understand the poorest person, they're coming to meet me? I'm telling you now the hal, the ruh of this hadith. That maybe he'll think, oh, people have come to welcome me here as well. In the hereafter, Allah will say, no, these are those people that you did your deeds for them. You practiced and you swore this person. You took his wealth. You lied at that person. You backbited that person. You did envy with this person. You prayed salam and you go and backbite and slander. You prayed salam. You did sin. You did hajj and you did this sin after that. So all these are pending. These deeds are pending. All of these people have come to swamp your deeds. Give this deed, give this deed, give this deed. And his deeds start to evaporate, distribute to those hordes of people, and he'll have zero left to his name. Zero. And he'll say, but there's still people here waiting. Oh, my deeds have gone, and my wealth is finished. Amir Sahib, his deeds have vanished, and the people are still waiting. because he's done many sins over and above that in the dunya. Allah will say, okay, fine, no problem. Now what? Their sins transfer to his name now. Their sins transfer to his name. This time will it come or not, brothers? Will it not come? With me? With you? Is there anyone, me, you, who will not stand on the plain of Hashar? Me and you, what have we prepared? Most definitely this will come. Allah has given a chance. This majlis we're in today, this gathering, I swear by Allah, is for this very preparation. I've sworn by Allah and told you this story. I swear by Allah, I'm not sat here for wasting time without a purpose. I'm not here for dhikr. We're here for preparation for the exam. This is not a minor statement I'm saying to you. It's a great point I'm making to you. Remember this, what I'm telling you today. Every type of person is sat here today. Lots of different people are in this majlis. Allah has sent. And Allah has sent us here. Everyone's come due to Allah's will. We haven't invited nobody. Allah sent us. Allah selected for this majlis people on this day, night of Jummah, on this day of January. Allah says, I've sent you to this gathering. On the day of judgment, I'll ask you, I sent you to that gathering. Why didn't you understand the message of that gathering? Why didn't you? You haven't come for me. Isn't this the case? Remember what I'm saying carefully, attentively. Allah sent us here. Yeah, I'm telling you the reality. Listen again carefully what I'm saying. Tomorrow we have to go to the court of Allah, day of resurrection. This salah we just prayed, Isha, I'm free now, prayed. Be careful that what's inside us. What's inside us? I need to recognize myself. I speak about myself because you are pious brothers. We'll go into our beds before we sleep. Think that when you're raising your hands and doing dua, think what's inside you. You're doing dua to your Rabb. Do you know He's watching you, hearing you? Khabir, Basir. He's looking inside you. Inside you. How much stench and dirt is inside us? Have we thought about this? Do I fear Allah? Do you fear Allah? Is my akhlaq good? Do I give rise to the people? These questions will be asked. Should we prepare for this, brothers? So what does Allah Ta'ala say? What's the preparation for this? What should we do? Say loudly. That seek out the friend of Allah. And after finding the friend of Allah, not just link, connection, sell yourself in His service. Sell yourself in His khidmat. Assign yourself. This is not formality relationship. This is the relationship that leads to paradise. Allah says in the Quran, "Qunum asadikin aswab Allah." Jannah is attained, paradise is attained, and hell is lost with this relationship. It's not a burden. I'm bayah with the sheikh. I am connected to the sheikh, and I do this much dhikr. Look inside you and see how are you. How much enmity is in your heart for others? How much waste of time actions are in your life? How much nonsense is in your life? Yes, Allah has given a ni'mah here. Bulleh Shah's poem in Punjab, you won't understand. He says that there's an ocean, a sea. And what is the ocean made of? Bulleh Shah, great sheikh of tasawwuf, alhamdulillah. Ajeeb, unique statements he said. Sufi, sheikh. He said that if you take all of the juice out of the flowers of the roses and you crush it and take the juice and the fragrance, the scent you can say, the fragrance, the perfume, if you extract the juices out of all the flowers and it becomes like a river of scent and fragrance, and in that river you jump. If you jump in the river and you have a bath in that river of the juices from the flowers and have a bath just like the fish when they swim in the river in the sea, and in you're swimming and having a bath in that river of fragrance. But remember, even that river of scent and fragrance, what can it not do? It cannot purify your heart. The fragrance won't come inside you until unless you don't take the dirt out from within yourself, inside yourself. Subhanallah. And the true fragrance comes in a person when the dirt comes out of the heart. Subhanallah. My brothers, this is the situation. There was so much ibadah we're doing. We're jumping in the river of the juices from the flowers. Waste of time. But only when our heart is made, that's when we'll benefit from the ibadah. Think about this. Think about this now. So now we're going to ask, what step shall I take then that I've gone to Wali Allah and I've taken bayah? Not sit in his company, sell yourself in his company. Assign yourself fully. How? Don't follow your desires. Rather, put yourself into his will, his direction. This is the path to Allah's Jannah. You have to annihilate your desires and wants and feelings. Oh, he's a great sheikh, and just keep sitting there and keep on counting your deeds then. Wasting your time. Very straightforward. Our deen is straight, very easy. Very simple, we don't have to do anything. Allah said, go, seek out a wali Allah, my friend, and sell yourself in his company. That's all you have to do. Hazrat, I've come. You've come, solid, you sold yourself, I sold myself. That's all you have to do. The rest, that's his job then. To direct you, to coach you, say subhanallah, subhanallah. That's it. You don't have to do anything else. I don't have to do anything. I just went and sold myself. Yes, in the first sight, I sold myself. The first company, I sold myself. Everything I gave away. Everything. The degrees and education, titles, house, shop, everything I sold. Why? What did I need? What did I want? The fakir didn't ask. This ajiz requested, I wanted Allah. Hazrat said, go. You've attained. You've acquired. Practically, I'm discussing and sharing with you. The transaction was made, then I left that company. I attained Allah, and then I left the company of my sheikh. Become like this, my friends. Tell me that what was stopped in my life? I had a wife, I got married, I learnt, and I earned with my hands, and I ran my shop all life long. I never undercut anybody. I never concealed anything. Everything, obviously, is jais. That everything, mashallah, did correctly. It didn't have a desire to do wrong because the hand, the pat of the fakir was on the back. That was the reason. For 10 pounds gave so much barakah, blessings, I tell you. 10 pounds had so much barakah. The whole week I could spend with that 10 pounds and pass the time with that 10 pounds. You won't believe what I'm saying. Great food, great clothes, bring up the children in 10 pounds. People said, how much is your turnover? I couldn't lie. I said 10 pounds. They said, in the day? I said, not the day, the week. They used to laugh like that. They used to grin and show their teeth and laugh at me. He said, oh, he's a madman. 10 pounds? How can you run your shop like this and your family like this? How can you pay the rent of the shop? I said, I don't know. When it comes to pay rent, I give him the rent. Subhanallah. When the landlord comes, I pay the rent. The reason for this, my friends, is this. That life, our life, is very temporary life. Short life. If we are afraid of something in the world, this is a test. It's a test. If you sell yourself, then why are you worried and scared? If you sold yourself to Allah, life is easy now, isn't it? You've given yourself over. Whatever's going to happen now, Allah will solve the problem. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about it. Yes, when you sit in the plane, there's easy sitting in a plane, the aeroplane flying in the sky, away from the country, hovering tens of thousands of feet above, the whole world below. Think, you just fall unconscious, scared person like me. Fool, where am I now? If you look out the window, you're going over the oceans, mountains. What if we drop? What if the machine fails? The engine fails? What happens? Why do you sit on the plane? Oh, the pilot, he's flying the plane. We trust him. So when a person believes in Allah, trusts in Allah, whatever's in the universe, my Rabb is running the universe, I have nothing to worry about. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Then he has no fikr. Then he sits in the plane of the deen. He says, hunger? No worry. The door will knock and the hot food will be presented. Go to sleep. Don't worry. Allah will give. But two things we must have. Fear of Allah. Eh? Always fearing Allah. Thinking about Allah. Am I doing any action that has caused Allah's displeasure? Always thinking like this. Is Allah minding what I'm saying or doing? This is taqwa. That is my beloved Allah unhappy with me? If Allah minds what I'm doing, it'll be difficult for me to please Him after. Maybe I can make people up with people in the world, but how will I make up with Allah? If Allah's displeased, then oh, I'll spoil my life. Oh no, I shouldn't do anything that spoils that relationship with Allah. This is where we need to work hard. What's the rasta, the path? First action, look for the wali Allah, seek the wali Allah, the sheikh, and sell yourself in his company. I've come, sheikh, give me the order. I want to attain two things. Number one, fear of Allah should come into my heart. Number two, my akhlaq should become better. My conduct. My manners. If anyone says anything to me, I shouldn't get angry. I shouldn't be envious of people. I shouldn't backbite against people. Whatever husband I get, I'm satisfied. Whatever wife I get, I'm satisfied. That's it. This is husni akhlaq. Good conduct, manners. Every minute we sell, for example, our beards might be down to the ground and our imamah might be to the skies and our clothes are so white that we think, oh, Jibreel al-Islam here is whiter than white. And look at his appearance. But make your heart like this. Just like your zahir is beautiful, make your inside beautiful, the batin. Yes, in the life should be no haram, no lying, no fraud, no hasad. It should be halal earnings, halal food. From this you can make, put fragrance on your body, nice clothes, put tasbihs in your hands. Allahu, Allahu, Allahu. Do whatever you want. I'm praying salah, sujood, prostration, umrah, hajj. This will not give you anything. Just like Bulle Shah said, you can make a river of the juices of the flowers, but the fragrance won't come into you until you don't extract the dirt from within the heart. Let's do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, give us tawfiq, capability, that we can embark on this path. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. This is the path of ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. It's not difficult. It's not difficult. That time is difficult. Death, when the angels will be extracting the soul, that's the difficult time. Have we thought that, why do I find life difficult? Why do I follow the sunnah? Why do I lie? Why do I backbite against people? Why do I go towards haram? Why? I've got money. Why am I greedy? Why am I not content? I want this and I want that. I want this house. I want that shop. Why? Why is this inside me? Why is this fire burning and raging inside me? Think about it for a few moments, brothers. Let's think, isn't it? Why am I wasting my time? What is it? Why am I in this difficulty of running after material? Then I have to accept that the big disease has been created inside me that's taking me towards Jahannam. This dunya has overlapped me, overwhelmed me. Allah Ta'ala didn't send me to the world for this. Come on, let me go to a waliyullah and let's grab his hand. Take the guidance and say to him that please help me to improve myself. Then the cure you get, that whatever he explains to you, whatever path he puts you on, close your eyes and follow it blindly. It's the job of the driver to take you to the destination. Then become the traveler of the akhirah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite the Durood Shareef.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام سيد المرسلين شفيع المرسلين طه ياسين نبي المؤمنين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد نبي الأمي وزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وآل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وأمرنا كل ذلك عندنا لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا أيها يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واشهدنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعملنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واجعلنا في زمرته يا كريم يا حيو يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حيو يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم إنا لهم ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا حيو يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا قاضي الحاجات اكتحاجاتنا يا قاضي الحاجات اكتحاجاتنا يا قاضي الحاجات اكتحاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرادنا اللهم اغفنا في بدني اللهم اغفنا في سمي اللهم اغفنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم ربي ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم ربي ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم ربي ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا
ہمارے ایک ساتھی ہیں پاکستان میں, ان کے ماموں جان کا انتقال ہو گیا, ان کے لیے خاص دعا فرمائے, اللہ تعالیٰ ان کو اپنے جوار رحمت میں جگہ عطا فرمائے, جنت میں اعلیٰ درجہ نصیب فرمائے, گناہوں کو معاف فرمائے, قبر کے عذاب سے بچائے, تمام ان کی نیکیوں کو اللہ تعالیٰ قبول فرمائے, ان کے پیچھے رہنے والوں کو اللہ سکون و صبر نصیب فرمائے, ان کے اولاد کو صدقہ جاریہ بنائے, تمام مومن مومنات کی بخشش فرمائے, تمام جتنے بھی اس دنیا سے جا چکے ہیں سب کو اللہ تعالیٰ بخشش فرمائے, اپنا فضل خاص فرمائے, ہماری اس مجلس کو قبول فرمائے, ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرمائے. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ نور عرشہ زینت فرشہ وآلہ وصحابہ ازواجہ ذریاتہ اہل بیتہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزۃ عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین.